What's going on, everyone, and welcome in to another episode of the Portu Podcast in English. This is episode number 3, episode number PEP, and I am your host, Rui dos Santos, and I'm alongside, as always, with my co-host, Jason Regu. Jason, how's it going, man?
Not bad, not bad. How about yourself?
It's Wednesday. We're almost there. We're almost getting towards the end of the week. Almost getting to the end of the work week and getting into the weekend for this game against Sporting. I'm super, super ecstatic for what we're going to watch this week, and I think it's going to be a great game.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have a lot to look forward to. It's going to be a tough one for sure. Sporting still have some familiar faces and some dangerous players on the pitch, but I think we got this one.
We're going to have to wait and see. We'll definitely touch up on that in just a little bit, but let's just focus on the game against Vizela this weekend. Porto win in the dire minutes of this game with a goal from Ivan Marcanu. No one really expected this. That's his second goal of the season, scored in his second consecutive game. Jason, what say you on this game?
I mean, it was one of those frustrating matches, right? See it time and time again for the big three in Portugal. They go away, they play the small teams at home, they tend to pack it in if they don't trust their offensive capabilities, and they frustrate the big teams, and sometimes they get that one point or they even nab that final minute goal and they steal all 3 points from the big teams. Fortunately, Porto was lucky enough to break through, right? They broke that deadlock. And funny enough, it was Marcano, who I was giving crap to last week, saves Porto 3 points.
Yeah.
Credit, you have to give credit where credit's due.
Yeah. And, you know, these are moments that define championship teams. You know, these players that you never expect rise to the occasion and score these goals or make these plays that evidently result in points. So it was huge. A lot of people were questioning the decision on Marcano starting, and look, it paid off. And you know, we are waiting to see what David Carmo is all about. We're ecstatic about the signing that we made. We know how good he is and how good he can be, but we're gonna have to just wait a little bit longer, which I don't think is a really bad thing overall, but we're gonna have to wait and see. But Jason, let's talk a little bit overall in this game. If there was an area in the game, whether it's position or just a main focus on how we were playing, where do you think we lack that extra spark, that consistency? Where was our weakness overall?
I mean, it's no surprise we're definitely lacking in that creative midfield role, right? Losing Vitinha, losing Fabio Vieira, it's been a struggle. And then it's going to be exposed a little bit more since Vizela did play compact, right? They packed it in. I think for me, that was the biggest struggle. There were some defensive lapses, but nothing crazy, nothing major. It's the creative midfielder for me. It's like people have been asking, it can get scary in games like that. We need that creativity, but we saw some shining players through Galeno coming on as a sub, and I think we have enough to fill that gap for the time being, but it's just a temporary solution.
Yeah, it's a temporary solution, that gap in the midfield where we're just, it's like we're getting back to our old Porto ways, not playing that really nice and that sexy style of play that we were doing last year with Vitinha controlling the midfield. It just shows how great he was and how essential he was to our success last year. Really having that guy that can just dictate the momentum, extend play, lay out these passes and get players, get these players open, and even these through balls that he had, he always timed them perfectly with the runners. You know, we're really, really missing that. Is there anything, I guess we can talk about Danny Loader, Namasu. What do you think of his performance in the first two games? Because I feel that, you know, with Otavio not starting, this was his time to prove himself. And to me, I'm a little disappointed. I know the kid is raw. He's got a lot of potential. I love his pace. I like his creativity. But what do you make of him?
I think he's still young, right? Otavio's established. Namasu, I think he's going to be fine. It's just I don't think he's not the answer, right? He's not established. He's not what we had. And maybe throughout the season, we'll see him develop, right? He'll have plenty of opportunities. There's going to be minutes for everybody. Like we've chatted about this. The lineup, I think, there's going to be a ton of changes in it, right? And we're up to the 5-substitute rule, correct?
Right.
So I think there's going to be lots of opportunity. And and when you look at Porto's bench, there's a lot of guys there that they're difference makers when legs are tired and they're going to be able to take over the game.
Right.
So I think he's going to be just fine. I don't think there's too much to worry about. We're only two games in. You got to remember that. Two very different games.
Yeah.
I think this is one of those games. If we score an early goal, like Vizela has their backs against the wall, they're going to have to open up. And unfortunately, we didn't find that early one. So their game plan worked.
Yeah, it did. And, you know, if we had scored that earlier goal, as you said, things would have opened up and maybe we would have put a couple of more away. So, but I like how you mentioned some players coming off the bench. Galeno, a lot of smack talk about this guy from last year. People were disappointed, and I know you've been a fan of his since he signed, and you're hanging on to, you've stayed on the bandwagon, the Galeno bandwagon. What do you think of his performance, what it meant to our victory, and how do you think he's going to finish off the season?
I mean, it was definitely a breath of fresh air, right, to see the kid get a shining moment, assisting that goal. At the end of the day, it was a beautiful goal. Executed perfectly from the cross to Marcano's head. And I think the kid has a lot of potential. He's not the only one, don't worry. I rate others high. I liked him last season. I thought he was up and down, right? He wasn't consistent, so it was fair that he didn't play more than he did. And you also, I mean, you had a rock solid roster last year.
Like, yeah.
You had your core 11. So it was always going to be tough for him to break through, and he wasn't going to fill Luis Diaz's shoes.
Right. Yeah. And it just arriving in January when Porto, first off, you're arriving at Porto, and I'm not trying to knock on Braga or anything. When you arrive at Porto, there's a lot of pressure. Doesn't matter where you came from. There's tons and tons of pressure. And this is at a time in January where Porto were already establishing themselves. Fabio Vieira was already making a name. He was having great performances. Vitinha was taking over. It seemed as if that Luis Diaz, even though he had been sold, that he was, I don't want to say that he was missing. It's like he never left, but we had the great replacements and we were hoping that Galeno would be that extra depth. Now the pressure is on for sure, and he has this opportunity for him to be the starter of this team, to be a leader, to be that go-to guy, that extra spark, whether it's coming off the bench or being the everyday starter. And he made the most of it. I love what I saw. Obviously, that assist was beautiful, and it was much needed, and it couldn't have arrived at a better time. We needed that goal, and it solidified 3 points, and these are results that, once again, that win championships. We're going to look back at this game where it was super frustrating and we were able to grind through. So I'm kind of excited for him this season. You know, as you said, it was a breath of fresh air. Once he took the pitch, he made his presence felt and he played a great game. So let's move on to the game this weekend real quickly. Jason, what are your thoughts, your predictions on this game against Sporting?
I'm going to go with a 3-1 victory for Porto. I don't think it's going to be easy. I think it's going to look more like a 2-1 game. And I think that third goal will probably just come in basically extra time when Sporting is just going all out to try to tie it up, right? To get that 2-2 result for Sporting. But I think Porto is going to end up closing it out, whether it's the 85th or the 92nd minute. I think Porto will find that third goal. But I do think Sporting is going to find that early goal like they usually do. They tend to find Porto sleeping, and then Porto wakes up, and I think the response will be nice. And I think we could find ourselves 1-1 into half, and then I think a change or two will happen. And I think that's where Porto's depth will show. And I think that's where Sporting lacks at the moment. I think that's where they're not able to compete with Porto and Benfica this year. They're lacking in depth for sure. So I could see them making it 2-1 for Porto. And like I said, that third goal is just going to find itself at the end of the game where Sporting's going for it to at least get the 1 point in that match. I think we're definitely going to use all five substitutions in that game. I think we're going to see hopefully Otavio starting, right? He'll be back. The one I think is the big question mark is David Carmo going to get his start, or is Sergio just going to go with the guys he's had the last two games and have Marcano Pepe pairing?
Yeah, for me, I think this game, and we'll definitely touch up on the David Carmo because it's one of our Twitter questions, so we'll get to that in just a little bit. For me, I think this game is going to be a little sloppy on our end, and I think it might be sloppy for Sporting as well, but they despite not having Paulinho, despite losing Matheus Nunes, which is huge, I think Porto definitely, well, they haven't lost some definitely yet, but it definitely comes to our favor if he's not there. But Sporting still has a really good attack with Boat, Marcus Edwards. They're still lethal. They're still able to put away six goals in the first two games of the season. They had a sloppy spout against Braga, but Braga is capable of just really making the lives difficult for Sporting, Porto, and Benfica. So I'm not going to write Sporting off on that result. So I guess this game has a lot of significance for both sides because they're both trying to figure out their identity. They're figuring out how they're going to go about this season. So this is a stepping stone for both teams. So I think it's going to be difficult. It's going to be a little sloppy. And I think overall, we're going to draw 1-1. I'm going to be super, super conservative on this one and not partisan. Jason, I know you sort of touched up on it, but what do you think Porto are going to try to take advantage of on Sporting's end? Like, you look at what we're good at or what we're capable of being great at, and then we look at Sporting and what their weaknesses are or what they're starting to struggle with this season. Where do you think Porto's going to try to take advantage of Sporting on?
I think it's going to be their center backs.
Okay.
I don't think they're the strongest point of the team, right? I think they tend to make mistakes. I'm not saying they're terrible, right? I think they tend to have slip ups in the defensive end. And I think us having the pairings of strikers is going to be nice, and having whether it's a winger or that creative midfielder, whoever it is, shine that day. I think they'll make that third man run, and I think that's going to cause havoc for Sporting. We know how Sporting is, right? They tend to attack on the counters. And I think that can be nullified with our midfield issues this season, since we do have Uribe and Grujic in the middle. Those are both very good defensive midfielders. So we should be okay containing the counterattack.
Okay. Very good observation. All right, let's move on to at least my favorite part of the show, which are the Twitter questions. Guys, once again, thank you. You guys are flooding our tweets with great questions. We love answering them, and we love having all of you being part of the show. So first one is from Viva La Vida at Viva_La_Vida. Where were you and what were you doing when we lifted the Champions League trophy in 2004?
So I was thinking about this, and I honestly cannot remember. But what I do remember is exactly where I was when I saw Costinha tie it up at Manchester United to put us through. And I was watching it with my small avu Rego, and it was after school, so I'd go there every day.
Yep.
And we were watching the game, and we were praying for a result, right? We just needed that one away goal.
Yeah.
And we're watching anxiously. The game's dwindling down. See the free kick, and we just see it go in, and that's the next thing you know, we turn up the radio, watching it on TV, and we just run around the house shouting basically in tears of joy because we just felt like it was going to be our season. I mean, we just had a season where we went through the Europa. We looked very good. We just found ways to get results. Yep. And after that result at Man U, it felt like a sign. It's one of those where it's like, hey, we're a championship team. We're always going to find a way to get the result one way or another. And I think that's exactly what that spoke to. And that was a big sense of belief for the club and that they could basically accomplish anything at that moment. I think in Porto's minds, I mean, maybe not Mourinho, maybe he's playing mind games with his players.
Right.
But I think the players believed there that they could beat any opposition.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, from after that game at Old Trafford, it set the tone. And then it just seemed like no one could stop us. From then on out, I don't want to say it wasn't much of a competition because Lyon and Deportivo definitely gave us a run for our money. They played really well against us, but I always felt that we were just always going to come out on top after that. And to answer the question, so being here in the United States on the Eastern time, I was lucky. Obviously, after school, the games would start at 2:45 or 3 o'clock, and we would get out of school at 2:30. So I'd be home just in time for the kickoff. And at that time, in 2004, the Champions Leagues were still played during the middle of the week. It was on a Wednesday night, I believe. And that's where I watched the game. I watched it at home with my brother, who is a Benfiquista, and he was happy that Porto won. And I remember watching the Manchester United game when Costinha scored that game-tying goal to send us through to the quarterfinals. My brother was there with me. We went to school together, and you know, he was celebrating with us. He was happy that Porto, a Portuguese team, went through. So those are my memories of 2004. So really good question. Next question is from our friend Stephen Brandt. He asks, outside of the podcast, what places should American fans look to for Porto content? What's your favorite places to go to? What say you?
I'd say FotMob is always a good place to start. Good app to get all your results and keep track of Porto and not miss a game. And you'll know when the game times are. You'll know the roster, the starting lineups, and what's going on live if you can't catch the game on TV. And then for website, I'd go to ebola.pt using your Google Chrome browser, and I would just translate it to English. And that'll keep you up to date on Porto.
Yeah, for me on Twitter, you know, I tune into some pages at Portista, Dragão News, Portal dos Dragões, and occasionally FC Porto Central, or at least back then I would tune in more. He was more active then, but those are my go-to. Obviously Abola, Record, and all that stuff I tune into as well.
I will warn you though, Bola is not the most pro Portista website.
No, dude, they have, that's just Benfica propaganda at times, but sometimes we kind of have no choice. We don't have another outlet to go to. But the next question comes from Valent at Diogo Valent 98. Given this last game against Vizela, what do reckon are we missing in the team and on the team strategy?
I mean, it's just showing, right? The two players that we sold were crucial to our success last year with Vitinha and Fabio Vieira being gone. And those guys were just crucial in those games. They constantly found pockets. They created a lot together. And I mean, it's just showing that we're missing that. I think we're still trying to find a way to adjust. And like I said, it was a very compact game. Vizela was organized. Hats off to them. They played their game plan well. It nearly worked. And it's just us showing that we don't have that creative midfielder. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And will we find one, or will we have someone that stands out this season that's on the bench at the moment? We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, even with Vitinha, we had games like these. Obviously, the presence was felt more with Vitinha. We always saw that, you know, we had our comfort zone in the midfield and we were more secure then. But there were still games just like this. We were just a little bit more, I guess, organized and not as sloppy. So, yeah, I agree. And I think this is just something that just it's definitely toiling around Porto Twitter, where it's the midfield, and then we throw in the David Carmo situation, and then it goes back to the midfield. We need a Vitinha. So, yeah, first, I know it was my number one worry going into the season was the midfield. We're seeing it in the first two games of the season, mostly against Vizela, and that's what we need to work on. And we on the more positive side of things, we have options, which is good, which increases competition, and it gives Sergio Conceição options and choices to make. And he has to build trust in these players if he's going to deploy them. Hopefully, it doesn't take too long. Next question. Matthew Dizzezuz at Matthew_FC Porto. Because of our last game, do you think a midfield of Grujic and Uribe will be able to hold down the midfield to fight for the titles? Or is another midfield needed? Or maybe Eustáquio is needed to start? I'm Canadian. Also, can you guys predict? can you guys make predictions for the next game? Thanks, Matt, for your question. Yeah, this is everyone's question, really. And I like that that Matt points out the duo of Grujic and Uribe. For me, I think it can be. We still have to, I know I keep repeating myself, we have to wait and see, because time will tell whether or not these two will mold together. If not, someone else is going to have to step up, whether it's Otávio going into the midfield or Pep dropping into the midfield, playing the Vitinha role. Who knows? There's so many things that we can do with the roster that we have. Eustáquio possibly being given a chance. It's really hard to tell. And right now, it's just all of our opinions, all of our preferences. So obviously, this cannot stay. I hope that Grujic and Uribe can mold together and do well. I think they're two good midfielders, but do they pair well? So that's the big question. At the moment, they're not. So things do need to change. After this weekend, it's going to say a lot. If Sergio Conceição is going to deploy the same starting 11 or at least the same midfield, and it doesn't pay off, things have to change for sure.
Yeah, I also think we're going to see a lot of variations like we've mentioned in the past. This season, I think Uribe Grujic will be his pairing for the Champions League, so he'll play it a little bit safer, right? Not give up too much defensively, because he does like to go into those games safe and then just trusting that his players will find a way to score. And I could see those two being the go-to guys. But I think in the league, he'll take a little more risk depending on the opposition, depending on how tired some guys are. I think he'll end up going with just like Uribe alone, and he'll give a guy with maybe a little more attacking sense a chance in that role. And maybe you'll see two attacking guys in front of Uribe, whether that's Otávio and another or Eustáquio getting in there. I think everyone's going to get minutes. I mean, we saw it last year. Like, the rotation was there. It's been there more than ever. And I think this 5-sub rule just helps that. It helps keep guys healthy. It helps give guys opportunities. And not for nothing, this is some of the most depth that we've ever had in Porto in the past, I want to say, like 10 years since, what team can I recall? I guess since the Hulk and Falcao days.
Yep.
But since then, we haven't had this depth. And even just watching that Porto team last year, we were pretty spoiled. Like, we had a complete team on the pitch, and then off the pitch, like, from the bench's perspective, guys would sub on and they'd be difference makers. Like, we just haven't had that in a while. So I think last season we were very spoiled, and this problem we have this season is just it's just one problem. Like, previous years we had way more problems than one position.
Yeah, and I think we have just like an abundance, I don't want to say of mediocrity, that's not really the right word, but like, we have an abundance of potential players that can be good. And we're still trying to figure it out. So this is what makes this season a little bit tricky for us, and even more tricky for Sergio Conceição, because he has all these players and all these positions that need to be set, and he still has no idea who he can fully trust. So we're going to have to, again, wait and see what happens. This game against Sporting is going to be huge. It's going to play a huge role in what Sergio Conceição is going to want to do with the starting lineup for the rest of the season. So Matthew, to answer your predictions, we already mentioned it earlier. I have us drawing 1-1. I hope I'm wrong. I hope we win. And Jason has Porto winning 3-1. Next question from our friend Mitchell at Tripeiro Nation. Lineup prediction for the Sporting match. Does Otavio start? If so, who's dropped? I have a feeling Loader will be dropped and Pep will move to the number 10 or on the wing. Another question, what is your favorite memory watching a Porto game?
Favorite memory. Probably, it's got to be that Manchester United game.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it embodies what it means to be a Portista. And I mean, think about it. Every year we go into the Champions League and we have some belief that we're going to make it through the group stages because we consistently do. And you just never know what kind of run our team's capable of, just like the season we knocked out Juventus.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it goes back to that. I just grew up being a Portista, and I guess you could say in the perfect time, because it's that sense of belief you have when Porto's on the pitch, something can happen and something good for the club.
Very well said. I'm going to be different. And I'm not going to say the Monaco final 3-0. I'm going to go with Benfica when we beat them 5-0. I think it was in 2012, I believe, around that time. So I'm going to go with that. That was amazing. It was epic. And years later, when James Rodriguez was subbed off, I think he was playing for Bayern Munich at the time, playing against Benfica, he threw up the number 5 as he was walking off the pitch, so he let them all know what happened. So I'll go with the 5-0 win over Benfica. FCP 1992 at FCP 1992. Is this the end of the Grujic-Uribe combination? Would you put Eustáquio or Otavio in the Grujic role for next game?
I think I'd keep it the same. I mean, I get it. It's sloppy. They're not the prettiest players in the world, right? They make a lot of great tackles, though. They win a lot of balls. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, they do make a lot of simple passes. I think with Otavio and Pepe around them, those will be the guys to create for him. And having Otavio on the pitch will create space for those guys. That's one thing we don't talk about, is Otavio creates a lot of space for the players around him. He tends to attract two defenders at a time. So right. With that given, that means somebody's free or there's just more space on the pitch. So I think with Otavio on the pitch, it's good. It's going to change the team dynamic. He likes to carry the ball. He likes to attract defenders, and he'll be able to create space for his teammates.
Yeah, for me, it's hard to make the change now because you're going into a big game. It's against Sporting, and you kind of just want to go with what you have, what you've been working with, and even though it doesn't work the way we want it to, it's working at the moment. It's going into Sporting. We're going to have to see if we are going to pull it off, if this duo between Grujic and Uribe is going to work. So it's hard to just change something and just to throw someone that hasn't really started in that role all season long into a big game like this. I don't know if that's the best of ideas, but in Conceição, we trust. I have my trust in him. He's proven me wrong. He's adapted. He's done really well to change overall as a manager. So if he sees something in training and he thinks it's going to work, I'm going to have my confidence in it. But I wouldn't mind seeing Otavio being thrown in there to play in a more deeper role. But, you know, obviously he's a more of a natural winger. I like to see him in more space like that, as you mentioned. So I don't know. It's a toss up. It all just depends on how we're going to line up completely with all the other players.
Yeah, and I mean, let's not forget to mention Pepe is going to also have some more time on the ball too with Otavio on the pitch. So we'll get more out of Pepe too. Mm-hmm. And something you see from both Pepe and Otavio is those guys are both wingers at the end of the day.
Right.
But both of them, they'll glide into the center of the pitch when they find space, and then they'll rotate. There's so many rotations from those guys. So I really think Otavio, if he's coming back completely healthy and he's ready to go,
yeah,
he's going to be a big difference maker for the squad. Yeah, he's so crucial to our success.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is where we miss Vitinha so much, because he was such a versatile player, amazing as a deep lying midfielder. But, you know, as the wingers dropped in last season, Vitinha, we would see him go forward up and switching roles, switching positions throughout the pitch. You can't really see that versatility with either Uribe or Grujic. They just don't have that quality. They definitely have the understanding of the game. Each of them have their own, they're really good at their own strengths, but not really capable of being that Vitinha-like player. So yeah, we're going to have to wait and see. Next question, Nicholas at INF33_, do you think Andre Franco should be given a chance in the 11? And where would he fit? That's a really good question.
I don't think this game. I really think you just swap out Namasu for Otavio and then you sort it out from there. I haven't seen too much of Franco, so I can't really speak about him. But like we said, Sergio's going to go with the guys he can trust. And just getting Otavio back in that starting 11 will be crucial. So I just think Namasu is going to be dropped and Otavio is going to get placed in that starting 11.
Yeah, Andre Franco was really good last year, but you know, when you move from Estoril to Porto, it's not the same. You know, he was very good. We got him for a great price. He has quality. He has potential. He did really well. He was one of the better players last season, or at least the better number 10s in last season. So, I mean, if Sergio Conceição hasn't integrated him yet, at least off the bench, there's no way I see him playing in this game. So as of right now, I think, you know, I'm with you, Jason. I think Otavio is going to be thrown in the Namasu role. And from there on out, we'll see what happens. So we'll figure it out as we go. But I think this game, Andre Franco, I don't think it's best for him to start. Next question, Kenny at Kenny Medeiros 1. Lineup predictions for the Spartan game. Does Carmo start?
I think there's a chance he does. I think it's because, like we said, Sporting's deadly on the counter. I think that little bit of extra legs will help Pepe with the pairing versus Marcano being a little bit slower. I know he's got good experience. He's got a good brain. But I could see Carmo getting a start here. We'll see. I'm not convinced he will, but I think we can see Carmo getting that start.
Yeah, I don't see it. I think Carmo hasn't started yet, he's not going to start his first game against Sporting. And Ivan Marcano has been, I mean, I don't want to say he's been great, but he scored in each game, scored the winner in the last one. And he was much better against Vizela than he was against Maritimo. So he kind of, for now, solidified his spot, in my opinion, in the starting 11. But I think eventually, once David Carmo really gets familiar with the team, building chemistry with the players around and really gaining Sergio Conceição's trust, there's no doubt that he's going to be the starter at the end of the season. And then we're probably going to see Ivan Marcano switch in and out with Pep, because I don't see Pep playing all 34 games. Next question. Bright Football at _buenos_dias_. What do you think about the last 11? Namasu is kind of doing the Fabio Vieira job from last season. He's a fantastic player, but at the moment, I don't see anything happening. Should Galeno start in the next match? Keep working, lads. We love the content. Thank you so much for your awesome feedback, and thank you for that question. That's fully loaded, and it's a really good one. So what do you think, Jason?
I mean, I do think Galeno should start, but like I said, Otavio is going to get the start here, and then everyone else will stay the same as the last 11. Maybe the Carmo would be the only thing that changes, but like we said, I'm not totally convinced yet, but I don't see Galeno getting the start here. He'll get plenty of starts this season, I'm convinced of it. It's so early on. There's going to be injuries. There's going to be tired legs.
Yeah,
but this won't be the game he starts. And I mean, in terms of Danny Loader, I don't see him being a starter this season. I think he's going to be a super sub for the first team. I think he's going to have a good year. I think he'll have some bright spots in it. But I think we still have guys who are just weathered and have experience who are going to give a little bit more than he can give as a starter. I think his role will be as that sub, as legs get tired from the other team, he'll be able to expose those tired legs. I think that's where he'll be suited best. And I think that's the role he's going to play this season. I don't see him being that, the starting 11 for this season, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see it either for Namazu. But to answer the Galeno part, you know, if anyone's going to take Namazu's spot, it's definitely going to be Otavio. Unless if Conceição decides to put Otavio in the Grujic role, then I could see Galeno being thrown into the starting 11, but that has to happen first. So I'm going to go with Otavio definitely coming in, starting this game. He's a proven player. I think he's arguably our best player on the attacking front outside of Taremi, or, you know, others will say that Otavio is better, but that's fine. So I guess definitely Otavio in the starting lineup, but Galeno, I can definitely see coming off the bench and giving a performance that he gave. And eventually throughout the season, when things get figured out, we're going to see more and more of it, of Galeno. And if he keeps putting up these performances, I think he's going to slowly make his way into the starting lineup. But for this game, I think he's going to come off the bench without a doubt, especially if we're going to be in need of a goal. Miguel, at Miguel 114730. Do you think we have enough squad depth to win the title? I look at Benfica's team and Sporting, and they have gotten business done and a really good squad depth. What do you think, Jason?
Like we were talking about yesterday, I really think it's this title race to me at the end of the season is going to be between Porto and Benfica. I think both of those squads have the most depth. I'm happy with the depth that we have as a squad. I mean, of course, I'd want a number 10 that's already established, but let's be realistic. We're the Portuguese league. We're not Premier League money. So are we going to really be able to afford someone that's established in that role already? That's kind of tough to say. I think we're going to have to rely on the guys we have, and it's just going to depend if someone on our team is going to fill that spot in, whether it's an Otavio, maybe he plays a different role this season, or someone on our bench just steps up. I'm convinced we have the depth to do it. I think Benfica is the only team that's going to stop us if they can stay consistent. I mean, they're pretty deadly. And to me, I'm a firm believer it's not the Benfica Sporting games that win the league. It's these games versus Vizela, right, that we almost ended up with a tie, but we got the victory. Are we going to be able to find those victories throughout the season? And when the teams pack it in and it looks like we have nothing going for us, and then all of a sudden we have a moment of brilliance and we save those 3 points. I think we have the depth to do it.
Yeah, I think so too. And as frustrating as the departures we had in the offseason and for the prices, I think we did okay in terms of bringing some players in. I love the David Carmo signing. The Andre Franco was a good signing. Gabriel Veron was a good signing. Bringing up Danny Loader, Gonzalo Borges. Young players that we have to, you know, at least give them a try and see what they're all about. And we have to factor in the Galeno signing too. I know it was just January, but that signing, the team was already well established when that happened, and we wanted to add more depth to the team back in January. But we can like consider that a good signing, like an off-season signing too, because that's what that signing was mostly meant for. It was for the future. It was for after Fabio Vieira and after Vitinha. So I kind of like the tools that we have. I think we brought in players that can do the job, but it's all a matter of us getting them together and building that recipe that can give us great performances, get us 3 points, and win championships. So obviously Benfica have done a good job. Sporting have definitely made up for the players that they've lost and brought in some young talent as well, and players that are experienced in the league. But, you know, I think we're just as good as them. I think we have just as much depth as both teams, if not more, and we're more than capable of repeating as champions. So I'm not as confident as I was last season, because we just had a brilliant squad, and as you said, Jason, we were spoiled for how good they were. So but this year, that doesn't mean, just because we lost key players, that doesn't mean we don't have players that can that can win games and win trophies as well. So I think we're more than capable of winning the title this year. We have one last question, and this one is from Instagram, Craig Matthews 0N. And this is a great question. What Porto player from before the Sergio era would you most like to be part of the current squad, taking into consideration Sergio's tactics and player roles? Great pod so far, guys. Look forward to this week. Thank you for the listen and feedback, Craig. Great question. If I had to choose, man, there's been a lot of great players that have been pumped through all the squads in the past. I don't know, Jason. What do you think?
So we're talking about current players or players that retired too?
Yeah, I guess it's from an era from before the Sergio era. So I guess, yeah, we'll factor in retired players as well.
Okay, so if we're talking about people still playing, I'll go with João Moutinho. I think he would solidify
interesting
some things in that midfield. I think he would help. He'd be able to teach some young guys to be more efficient, to have better vision, better decision-making. And, I mean, if we're going retired, I'd go with Deku because we're lacking in that role. And that man was a true number 10.
Yeah, honestly, I can definitely agree with both of those. Those are two players that I really enjoyed. I always loved Mario Jardel, but I feel like we're pretty locked and loaded up at top. So to fill a necessity like our midfield, either João Moutinho, Deku's a good option. Just to be different, I would say James Rodriguez, who's a current player.
I like him. I feel like he played more of winger for us, you know?
Yeah, he did. But yeah, obviously, he was capable of controlling in the midfield. And we kind of need that player. Not so much in a deeper role that Vitinha had, but I think a player like him could definitely help us out. And, man, one from the past. Yeah, I would have to say, you know what? Actually, I would go with Costinha. Okay. We mentioned him on the last podcast. Not really a deep-lying creative midfielder, but, man, that guy was just a force, a unit in the midfield. And I think maybe he would pair well or even better than Grujic would with Uribe. So I would go with Costinha for a player that's retired. Yeah. That's just about it for this episode. This is the third episode, 3 down, Jason. It's been a blast. This episode was great, full of great questions, great opinions on what's going to happen with our future formation and the predictions going into this weekend's game against Sporting. I don't know. Any last words for you?
No, I think we're just getting started. I think there's going to be a lot of changes throughout the season. I think we're in for a long ride. Let's enjoy it. There'll be ups and downs. We're going to have to stay patient with the team. I know people get impatient and frustrated with Sergio's stubbornness, but if he continues to find ways to get results, you just have to trust the guy. The guy loves Porto more than he loves his own life. So
yeah, that's a good way to put it. All right. Well, thank you guys for tuning in to this episode of the Porto Podcast in English. Please give us a follow on Twitter at FC Porto ENG and follow us on iTunes. We are finally on iTunes. Subscribe there. Leave a 5-star review if you wish, or you can just hit the 5 stars. That can definitely help us grow even more. Guys, thank you again. We appreciate all the feedback, all the questions, all of your participation, and we will see you next week.